my hands. She said, well, she said, if you come in to visit me, don't come empty-handed. So I thought about that. Our Torah portions, every night, our Bible studies, let's not leave a home or let's not leave this place empty-handed. Let's take it and apply it to our lives. That's what it's about. It's not just stories of them that happened, oh, that's way back when. Listen, we are living in Bible days right now, and it's coming. So as we go through our Torah portion, I just want to emphasize, let's not leave empty-handed. When we leave here, let's leave here with our arms full. So I thought that was pretty interesting how he said that. Let's just don't leave empty-handed. So here we are on Torah portion 14. Vayera. And that's Hebrew for I appear. And this is the second time we see this Vayera. We've seen it in Torah portion 4, how Yah appears to Abraham. And right here, he's appearing to Moshe and Pharaoh. But it's Hebrew for an I appear. In the Torah, Exodus 6, verse 2, through Exodus 9, 35. And the half Torah is Ezekiel 28, verse 25 through 29, 21. And it's going to be short tonight because I didn't get very far with adding in some slides. But it's funny because just for Bible study, we was talking about a house and we was like, pastor goes over so many times and he always got to do another CD. And let's see if we can find some longer CDs. So we thought we found 120 minutes. We got excited, getting ready to order it. And Sister Raina said, nope, that's a DVR. You can't find 120-minute CDs, only 80. So we was like, oh, man, we thought we had the golden nugget. We had them CDs to where he ain't got to see his car say, hold up, got to change CDs. We thought we had the 120 minutes, but we don't. So tonight is, we're just going to get warmed up. We're finished. I'll save a lot for tomorrow, for Shabbat service, the ending of Shabbat service. So we go ahead and hear verse 3 in the parasha. The topics is this week's Torah, Peshat, is Shemot, and is Hebrew for names. And in chapter 6, we see Elohim reveals himself to Moshe as Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh for the first time. In chapter 7 is the first plague. Chapter 8 is frogs to flies, plagues 2 through 4. And chapter 9 is from the cattle to hail, plagues 5 through 7. And he's ending in hail, and we're going to tie that into the Revelation. It's the same plague that's going to happen for those that won't be under the hoopah, where we're going to be like they were in Goshen. They was being saved from all that. So the Peshat, the plain meaning, it says, God reveals himself to deliver and save and to fulfill his promise. Let me make it bigger, huh? Sorry. Y'all should have told me. I don't know. Oh, the Wi-Fi went out. Still not on, huh? Yeah, I'm connected to the Faith Temple Wi-Fi. was the Passover? Turtle. What?
Keeps clipping off. So.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You're gonna be longer than you think tonight.
Yeah. I was spelling your whole name. Got it. So I wasn't even off. I mean, I wasn't even on for those first couple slides, huh? Let me go back. Shemot. All right, so we're on chapter 6, and we're going to see that it says Elohim reveals himself to Moshe as Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh for the first time. And we was learning the names last week, and if you drop those vowels, it's Yah-Hah-Vah. And it's what he's saying, and he's explaining himself into a more intimate level. It went out again. He can control it? I just put in four or five extra slides. So you can control it, brother. Go back a couple. Yep, perfect. So you just control it. Again, let's try this again. Chapter 6, Elohim reveals himself to Moshe as Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh for the first time. And in chapter 7, it's talking about the first plague. And what he's doing is, like I said, he's revealing himself to Moshe with a more intimate level than just as Elohim, the word of Elohim. Chapter 8 is the frogs to flies, plagues 2 through 4. And chapter 9 is cattle to hail, plagues 5 through 7. In the Peshat, the plain meaning is God revealing himself to deliver and save and to fulfill his promises. And he does the same thing for us. It's when he gives us a word, that's his promise. And he never goes back on, even if it takes years, just like it took years. Because look, he promised this to Abraham, that he would deliver his people and bring them back to giving them inheritance. And it's being fulfilled only now in Moshe. So way back, all those years, we see God's character in the Remez. God manifests himself at different times to save us. Hidden glimpses of Messiah symbolized in the seven promises of God in Exodus 6:6 through 9. And the application for us today is time to let go of all idols in our lives and come out of spiritual Egypt. And that's what we've been doing since we started the Torah and started our feast days. We look in last week's half Torah, it's called, I can't remember the name of the scripture, when it's not just crush it. I mean, they had to crush it, those idols, to where it was like powder. That's what he's talking about. That's what we have to do in applying it for application for us today. That's how much we got to tear them down. They can't be a slight little rock or pebble left, you know, to where it can attach us back to ourselves. We got to crush it completely to where it's like it's powder. And we're going to see in the drash, the symbolism, El Shaddai. And that's, he's now revealed as Yohevaveh, Yahavah. Learn more about Elohim's future revelation of himself and the principles behind the plagues that each deal with a different idol in the lives of the Egyptians, and find out how to apply that to our own lives today. Find prophetic correlations with how the Parashah ends with the seventh plague of hail, and see how this hints at the seventh and final plague in the book of Revelations. Elohim reveals himself to Moses, employing the four expressions of redemption. And instantly, when I seen that and how it started talking about the I wills, it went along perfectly with our Passover. Everything, all that just started coming back to memory. It was only a few of us that did it here, but we went live, so everybody seen the teaching on it. Employing the four expressions of redemption, he promises to take out the children of Israel from Egypt, deliver them from their enslavement, redeem them, and acquire them as his own chosen people at Mount Sinai. He will then bring them to the land he promised to the patriarchs as their eternal heritage. Moses and Aaron repeatedly come before Pharaoh to demand in the name of Elohim, let my people go. Look, and when I read that, I thought about our loved ones. Repeatedly, we got to go to the Father, telling for the enemy to let our people go. We don't just go one time. We don't just go two times. We don't just go when they're getting sick and it feels like their time is getting short here on this earth. We go repeatedly, just like Moses and Aaron did, repeatedly go before the Father because of Pharaoh, telling them, let our people go, so that they may serve me in the wilderness. Pharaoh repeatedly refuses. Aaron's staff turns into a snake and swallows the magic sticks of the Egyptian sorcerers. Elohim then sends a series of plagues upon the Egyptians. The waters of the Nile turn to blood. Swarms of frogs overrun the land. Lice infest all men and beasts. Hordes of wild animals invade the cities. A pestilence kills the domestic animals. Painful boils afflict the Egyptians for the seventh plague. Fire and ice combine to descend from the skies as a devastating hail. Still, the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he would not let the children of Israel go, as Elohim had said to Moses. And look, every one of these plagues was gods that they worship. Every last one of them. That's not a coincidence. Yah knew what he was doing to get their attention. But even though and we can say, oh, Pharaoh, how many times he tried to get our attention? We was hard-headed, time after time, until finally. So chapter 6, Elohim reveals himself to Moshe as Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh for the first time. And Elohim spoke to Moshe and said to him, I am Yah. I am Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And I appeared to Abraham, to Yitzhak, to Isaac, and to Yaakov as El Shaddai. And by my name, Yah, was I not known to them. So it was what he was. He took it to a whole nother level with Moses, with Moshe. He got a little more intimate with him. It wasn't just the God, the Elohim, who spoke to Moshe. He says, I am Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. Intimacy. He took it very intimate to him. Sufficient enough. Mercy to save equals El Shaddai. And that's, you see, that's moving from the word of Elohim to revealing himself as Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. And enough. He's enough. As we've seen in our teaching on Passover, we called it Dayenu. It's enough. If he's enough. It was enough that he took us out of Egypt. That would have been enough. It would have been enough if he just brought us to the Mount Sinai and gave us the Torah. That would have been enough. Dayenu. It would have been enough that he delivered us from crossing the Red Sea. He brought us through the Red Sea. That would have been Dayenu. That would have been enough that he revealed himself up to that point. In self-existence, father of selfless love. Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, Yah-Hava. The New Testament refers to promises Elohim has made to us as a precious and magnificent. In 2 Peter 1, 3 through 15. 2 Peter 1, 3 through 15. As his mighty like power has given to us all we need for life and reverence through the knowledge of him who called us to esteem and brightness, to his knowledge. Through these, there have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, so that through these you might be partakers of the mighty like nature, having escaped from the corruption in the world caused by lust. And through his knowledge, that's through Yeshua, through the knowledge of Yeshua of him. And for this reason, verse 5, do your utmost to add to your belief uprightness, to uprightness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control endurance, to endurance reverence, to reverence brotherly affection, and to brotherly affection love. Notice, these are all characters of Yah. And that's what he's telling us, that we have to add to our lives, add to our beliefs. Verse 8, for if these are in you and increase, they cause you to be neither inactive nor without fruit in the knowledge of Master Yeshua Messiah. We need those characters. I'm going to read that verse again. For in these, all those characteristics I just read, you increase. In you and increase. They cause you to be neither inactive nor without fruit. You want to get active in church? Get those characteristics. Nor without fruit. You want to bear fruit? Get those characteristics. Brotherly love is a tough one for a lot of people. Brotherly love. Think about it. But without it, you don't have increase. You don't get active. Because the first thing you're going to do is sit back and say, they're talking about me. Or they said this, or they say that. No fruit, nor without fruit if you don't have it. Verse 9, for he in whom these are not present is blind, being short-sighted, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his old sins. Listen, you don't doubt that he delivered you if you have those characteristics. You don't doubt that all your sins have been forgiven, not just some, all of them. For this reason, brothers, all the more, do your utmost to make firm your calling and choosing. For if you are doing these matters, you shall never stumble at all. Listen, Yeshua never, ever stumble with those characteristics in his life. Never stumble. For in this way, an inheritance into everlasting reign of our Master and Savior, Yeshua Messiah, shall be richly supplied to you. And so I intend to remind you of these matters again and again, though you know them and have been established in the present truth. What we have to do, remind each other again and again. But I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by a reminder, knowing that the putting off of my tent is soon, even as our Master Yeshua Messiah made clear to me. But I shall do my utmost also to see to it that you always have a reminder of these matters after my departure. Exodus 6, 6 through 7 lists the seven precious and magnificent I will promises from Elohim. The first cup, and these are the cups that we partook in Passover, says, I will free you, the cup of salvation. The second cup, I will deliver you, the cup of deliverance. The third cup, I will redeem you, cup of redemption. Those first three cups is what Yeshua did in his first coming. These next cups and these next I will promises is what he's going to do in his second coming. Cup 4 and 5, I will 4 and 5 is the fourth cup. I will take you for my people and I will be your Elohim is the cup of acceptance as the bride. In the fifth cup, verse 6 and 7 goes together. I will bring you to the land as the cup of inheritance. I will give the land to you as your inheritance. Listen, how wonderful it is to have to be willed into this will that our Heavenly Father. You know, I guess as a kid, sometimes you feel like you had this rich father who had a lot of things that when that will time comes, when he would pass, you're sitting on the edge of your seat wondering, boy, I wonder what he just willed to me. Listen, he can't will to you what Yah just willed to his people. I will bring you to the land. I will give you the land to you as an inheritance. The promises of Elohim in Exodus 6. Exodus 6 through 7 lists precious and magnificent I will promises from Elohim. But did you know these are reference to what Elohim foretold to Abraham? Genesis 15, 13, levels of estrangement from Yah due to sin, due to breaking the Torah. That's how we became sojourners in the land. That's how we became strangers in the land. Exodus 15, 13, and he said to Abraham, know for certain that your seed are to be sojourners in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Think about that. He's told Abraham that your sojourners is going to be in the land that is not theirs. They're going to sojourn in that land. And they're going to be afflicted. It's not only were they going to be slaves, but then the oppression comes upon them. And that just make being a slave 10 times harder. Because at first it was nice when they first went to Egypt. Then when that Pharaoh died and that other Pharaoh rose up, he began to put hard labors on them. Hard labors to where they started, they cried. They cried out to Yah. It was no crying out to Yah when they was already over there eating up everything. It was living large. It didn't bother them. Number one, strangers and strange from Elohim. I will be your, no, and strangers from Elohim. Stay on this side first. Number two, in a land not yours, the land. Number three, enslavement redeem you. Number four, oppressed and afflicted. Elohim saves the most trouble first and works in reverse. Notice, I will free you from oppression and afflicted. I will deliver you from enslavement and redeem you. I will bring you back, what he said, I will give them back to the inheritance. I will give them the land. And I will be your Elohim. No more strangers. No more strangers to Yah. But notice, he works from the troubles first, and then he works in reverse. He works up. How many thank Yah for that? So Exodus 6, verse 4. And I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their sojourners in which they have sojourned. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Mishrites are enslaving, and I have remembered my covenant. Listen, that verse, verse 5, Yah is not responding to the cry. He's responding to the promise that he gave Abraham. That's what he's responding to. Because listen, we've seen many tears shed. And if you have no teshuv and you have no repentance, that don't mean nothing. But he's not responding because he heard the cry. He's responding because he promised Abraham what he would do for his children. Say therefore, verse 6, to the children of Israel, I am Yah. I shall bring you out from under the burdens of the Mishrites, and shall deliver you from their enslaving, and shall redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments, and shall take you as my people, and I shall be your Elohim. And you shall know that I am Yah, your Elohim, who is bringing you out from under the burdens of the Mishrites. What a promise. Shall take you as my people, and I shall be your Elohim. You talk about being intimate with them. The first cup is I will free you. And we've seen that in Exodus 6:6-8. I shall bring you out from under the burdens of the Mishrites. I shall bring you out. Psalms 4:3. I shall bring you out from under the burdens of the Mishrites. And we're gonna see how this parallels to Yeshua, these cups. Because that's what he did for us at his first coming. He freed us from the burdens, the spiritual Egypt is where he took us from. Messiah frees us from the bondage of sin and calls us out of spiritual Egypt. Transgression of the Torah and promises to give us rest from the mental, spiritual, and emotional burdens of life that comes as a product of sin. And listen, we have family members, literally, that is being tormented mentally, daily. But yet he gives us a promise. What did Aaron and Moses do? They went repeatedly before Pharaoh. We have to go repeatedly to Yah for our loved ones. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I don't think I put that one in, so let's read it. Yeah, these are the slides I added. That's why Brother Rob don't have them. We have them right for tomorrow morning, no promise. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Messiah frees us from the bondage of sin and calls us out of spiritual Egypt. Matthew 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are burdened, and I shall give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your beings, for my yoke is gentle and my burden is light. What we have to do, we have to be yoke up with him. Not as this wild yoke, I mean this wild donkey or cattle that don't want to be yoked. We have to be yoke up with him. Why? Because he says, my yoke is easy for us to learn from him. He is meek and humble. Notice how we need to be meek and humble. And then we'll find rest. And in doing so, gives us the peace of God, which passes all understanding and keeps our hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not worry at all, but in every matter, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to Elohim. And the peace of Elohim, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Messiah Yeshua. You want to defeat mentally and spiritual emotions and the burdens of life? Yoke up with Yeshua. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. You will see how we're bringing this, how Messiah, we're tying this into a paralleling with the Messiah and what he has done. 2 Corinthians 7, 1. Having then these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and spirit, perfecting set apartness in the fear of Elohim. Having then these promises, what promise? All these I will promises. I will deliver you. Let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and spirit, perfecting self-apartness in the fear of Elohim. And how you do that? How do you cleanse yourself? Torah. By the Torah. Revelations 18:4, and this is the last cup. This is where I stopped at, because I didn't get to put cup 2, 3, and 4 and all the rest of them in. He says, and I heard another voice from the heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. So what is he doing? He's calling us out. He's telling us, come out from among them. What he calls us? His people. A peculiar people. A holy nation. Saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive her plagues. So look, there's a cause and effect. There's consequences. He's calling us out. But if we stay there, what is he saying? You're going to share in their sins. And you will receive the plagues that's coming in the end times. Because those plagues are coming. But we can be in Goshen, which will be dead in Christ rise first. Those that remain, we'll be caught up him in the air. And we won't, when those 100-pound hails are falling and fire, it won't come nigh us. We'll be up in there in that marriage supper and getting ready to come back and spend our time here on earth. So who's excited about that? I'm excited about that. Amen. So that's all I have for tonight. We got to put some more slides in here. But I'm just so thankful. So look, let's not leave empty-handed. Don't forget that. I know we can, once we start doing things and it feels like it gets like repetitive almost, and we kind of get laxy days or relaxed, but let's the tour is a powerful pack with a bunch of stuff. And I'm so glad where we're at, how we slowed down, we pulled the reins back and went to a deeper understanding of it. And how we can, it's not, like I said, it's not what, you know, just some old Bible stories, but it's definitely applicable for our lives today. Definitely need to apply it to our lives and be prepared for what's coming. We got some rough times coming, but why should we fear? We serve the maker of this whole universe. And don't get feared or worried about who's in office, because he says the king's heart is like water in my hands. I move it whichever way it wants to go. He wants it to go. So we don't have to fear nothing. Will we see some hard and tough times? Maybe so. We should just be prepared for it. Amen. He's good to us. Let's remember, we got some prayer requests that went out. Miss Enola.